Crimes were committed to punish crimes, and crimes were committed to prevent crimes. The world has been filled with prisons and dungeons, with chains and whips, with crosses and gibbets, with thumbscrews and racks, with hangmen and headsmen. And yet all these frightful means and instrumentalities have committed far more crimes than they have prevented. Ignorance, filth and poverty are the missionaries of crime. And as long as dishonourable success outranks honest effort, as long as society bows and cringes before the great thieves, then there will be little ones enough to fill the jails. And that was said by Robert Ingersoll. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. So crime, folks, crime and criminals. There can be little doubt that the system of slavery we know as a modern society is certainly rife with crime and with criminals. But where does it all come from? Why is there so much crime in the world today? What is the basis of this crime? Is it just humankind spiraling ever downward on the evolutionary path and more stupid and violent people being born? Is it simply a product of society, a product of overpopulation? Or is there something more? Is there something about our society which is designed specifically and purposely to create crime? Because really, folks, there's so much of it, you have to wonder. You have to wonder why there are so many people committing so many crimes and why the jails are so full, and most especially in Western countries. What is the reason, folks? Where does all this crime come from? And what are most of the crimes that people are in jail for? And well, folks, 90% of the people that are in jail for non-violent crimes, crimes in which there was no real injured party in their actions, and most crime is in fact created deliberately by government. And they do this by simply making up laws for every little possible thing they can think of, so that it becomes possible for everybody to commit a crime at any moment of day or night, without even realizing that they're doing so. And this is, of course, done to make us all uniform in the eyes of the law, a concept called total criminalization, which is something that I spoke about on a show. I think it might have been last year or possibly the year before. If you check the Crow House archives, you will find a radio broadcast that I did called Total Criminalization. And this is what it's all about, folks. They wish to turn everybody into a criminal, because this makes us all uniform in the eyes of the law. And crimes are the result and product of government, because it is government that creates these so-called laws that people break all the time. I mean, the government will make it illegal to park in a certain spot on the road. They will make it illegal to put a flyer on someone's car. They'll make it illegal to camp down the beach overnight and do anything that you might want to do, which would be a normal human activity, not hurting anybody, but you can't do it because you're stepping outside of some imaginary rule that a government official has written on a piece of paper and said, look, because we made this up, now you can't do that. And what this is, folks, essentially is a system of slavery. And it is this system of slavery and the imposition of the economic model over the minds of the people within our societies, which is the sole cause of most of the crime on the planet today. The only crimes that would not fit into this category would be crimes of passion. And so you see, folks, that's why there are so many people committing so many crimes, and that's why the jails are so full, is because most of the crimes people are committing are not, in fact, crimes. They are simply breaches of statute regulations that have been put in place by government. And in fact, if the government is going to allow a system which puts these sorts of rules in place and a system which keeps people in a state of scarcity so that they have to steal to survive, then who is the criminal? Is it a crime to steal food to feed your family? Or is it a crime to impose a system over the people which forces them into a position where they have to steal food to feed their family? Which one is the real criminal, folks? If you look at the country that I live in, Australia, back in the founding days of this country, there were so-called criminals who were sent here on prison ships for the crime of stealing a loaf of bread. And we look back at this and we say how terrible it would be in those days, how terrible it would have been to be alive in such times where you could be sent to jail for stealing a loaf of bread. And yet, what we see in the world today is homeless people who are completely discarded by society, who are forced into positions where they must steal food, and we see them being incarcerated for doing so. For the crime of being poor and the crime of having to steal to put food on the table, when really the real crime is the imposition of the economic model over that individual, which has caused that person and forced that person into a position where they must pay to be alive. So this is what I've been talking about on the show for 6 years now, folks. I mean, these scumbag criminals in government who are putting all these rules in place and forcing society into positions where we have to exploit each other and exploit the world around us in order to collect the paper, the fictional money that we need in order to gain access to everything that the world provides for us freely in abundance. And it's always the little people who are forced to pay the price for the criminal activity of governments. And I put it to you all out there, anybody from government, if you're listening to this, you're all scumbags. And it's really about time the people of the world stood up and insisted that some changes be made to this corrupt system. Because the real criminals are those in government, those people who have forced society into the position it's currently in. And the other criminals are those people in police uniform who support the criminal activities of government and who are so lacking in intellect that they simply go along with every rule that's handed to them on a piece of paper because it has a fancy letterhead on it and they believe it must be law and they have no choice but to comply. And honestly, folks, people that are so dim-witted that they will follow any regulation that's handed to them and any law that's handed to them by any government official should not be in the police force. They really should not. We need people in the police force who are actually capable of critical thinking, not mindless drones who are willing to put their fellow citizens into jail for crossing an imaginary line that was put there in the first place by a criminal who was actually elected to a position of trust who is now simply abusing the power that's been granted to them. Because really, folks, I mean, the act of a police officer doing this is, in fact, a criminal activity. It's a criminal action. The officer himself is actually committing a crime by following corrupt legislation that's given to him by government, because really, the only law that exists that is real law is common law. Statute law isn't real law. These are just rules written on pieces of paper by politicians that do so in order to subvert actual law and replace it with the will of politicians. I've said that to you quite literally dozens of times on these shows as well. And so that's really who is breaking the law, folks, because in the commission of a crime, then there must be an injured party for a crime to have been committed. And in the breach of a statute, the only injured party is the person who's prosecuted. So who broke the law? The government broke the law, the police broke the law, and they do it every single day, and they get away with it because we live in divided communities. And they've constructed a system now where they will come and inflict themselves upon you and enforce a system of slavery upon you, and if you even question a police officer, they'll tell you that you've broken the law. When the police officer was actually committing a crime, he was doing harm against you by attempting to enforce a system of slavery over you, and by resisting this system of slavery, these people dare to say that you broke the law. But of course, it wasn't a law, it was a statute. And statutes themselves are designed to break law and ensnare the population into a system of slavery. That is their only purpose. So you see the conundrum here, folks, and you see the difficulty we have in ever dealing with this situation. And that's why, as I've so often said, it comes back to uniting the community. It comes back to the people actually standing up for themselves en masse and saying, we've had enough of this. We're sick of this system of slavery. Because that's what it is. It's a system of slavery. And not only is it a system of slavery, folks, but it's a system of commercial slavery, which makes it even more insidious because not only are they enslaving the people, they're forcing the people to exploit each other And they're reducing the human race to commodities who are forced to suffer the criminal actions of their masters. Because the criminal actions, the real criminality on this planet, folks, is carried out by governments all over the world. That's the real crime lords in this case. I mean, you could even look at the bankers and the so-called ruling elite, and you can say these guys are criminals, but are they really? Because they're acting within the parameters of so-called law. And so really we must look at who put these laws in place. And who put them in place are these mealy-mouthed, kowtowing, weak-minded, pathetic individuals that we call government. Because all these people do is brown-nose and suck up to those who print money. That's all they do. Politicians are truly the most weak-minded, pathetic excuses for people that exist on this planet, folks. They really are. I mean, how many politicians actually do the right thing, get up and say the right thing, and hold the rest of their party in breach of trust for what they do? Actually point out criminal activity? No, they don't do any of that. They get within these positions, then they start following the parameters, and they never get anywhere because they're forced to operate within psychopathic and pathological parameters which are designed to tie them up in red tape and ensure that the criminal actions of our government is just continued. I mean, sure, you'll get politicians that'll actually stand up and point the finger and say the right thing in some cases, but then they just sit down. They just leave it at that and they sit down and they don't do anything about it because they're forced to operate within the parameters of the party and they're bound by the traditions and the guidelines of their party. So they never get anywhere, folks. That's why it's no point in joining politics if you want to change the world, because you're not going to do it through politics. In fact, politics needs to be removed from government. We don't need politicians to run government. We need responsible people. Big difference, folks. Politics is theatre. Politics is greasing palms and coming up with the best one-liner about somebody else. Politics is a joke. It's an insult to the intelligence of normal people. It really is. And who are the real criminals on this planet, folks? Well, it's the politicians. Because look at the real crimes that are being committed on this planet. And bear in mind, folks, that in a real crime, in the commission of a real crime, there is an injured party. So is there an injured party by the actions of government? Folks, government have allowed legislation which allows companies like Monsanto to destroy the food stocks on this planet and patent seeds. What sort of an insane lunatic is going to put legislation in place which makes it possible for a company to own the rights to seeds? I mean, is this even sane? How can they put that in place and say that's law? It's not law, folks. It's legislation. So I would recommend disregarding that type of legislation. I'm not suggesting anybody break the law. What I'm suggesting is that the governments stop breaking the law by putting in place legislation which causes harm, because causing harm is breaking the law. So it just comes down to your perspective, folks. I'm sick of governments breaking the law, and it's about time the people did something about it. Seed patenting is not a valid law, so it needs to be disregarded by everybody. These are the real crimes that are being committed against the people, and some of the biggest crimes that are being committed against the people are being committed by companies like Monsanto that are given free rein to do so by the criminal actions of government. What's another crime that's being committed against the people? I would suggest the banning of cannabis is another crime that's been committed against the people, because this is a plant that can cure you of a myriad of diseases, and yet the government decides that they will ban it and they will enslave you to a pharmaceutical industry that causes harm. This is a criminal act that's been carried out by government. Any government that seeks to ban cannabis is a criminal government, and any politician that supports the prohibition of cannabis is a criminal and should be removed from office by default. That's a criminal action, folks. What else is a criminal action? It would be criminal to arrest someone and incarcerate them for the breach of a statute. This is what police do. Police are criminals, and they are a criminal gang, and they are carrying out crimes against humanity every single day. And what's another crime? Perhaps enslaving people to a system of fictional debt whereby they are forced to pay to be alive. This is another criminal act that has been carried out against the people of the world by governments, by elected public trustees who are all standing in breach of trust. And what is another crime? Could it be that war is a crime, folks? Could it be dropping depleted uranium on other nations is a crime? Could it be enslaving other nations to fictional debt is a crime? Could it be putting military bases all around the world so that you can impose your will upon the rest of the world? Could this be seen as a crime, folks? And what about destroying the global water table through coal seam gas mining? What about destroying the oceans by putting oil wells and oil slicks everywhere? What about enslaving the world to an oil-based economy? What about claiming that oil is this scarce commodity when it's actually abiotic and we don't even need to be using oil because we could have had free energy technology years ago from Tesla devices had they not put the economic system above the needs of humankind? Could this possibly be a crime, folks? What about putting smart meters all around the planet and forcing people to endure this electromagnetic smog that we are forced to suffer every day of our lives? What about spraying chemicals in the sky from aircrafts all over the world without the permission of the people or even the knowledge of the people? Could these things possibly be crimes, folks? Because all of these things cause harm. That's the thing. You know, the people of this world are enslaved to a system which does nothing but harm to them, and they just go along with it because they believe that it's against the law to speak out against the system. But I say screw the system, and I challenge any politician on this planet to a public debate about any of the issues that I raise here. Because I'm sick to death of these people, and I'm sick to death of them destroying this planet, and I am not scared of this system. I'm not scared of authority. I'm not scared of any of these politicians. I'm not scared of their police force. I'm not scared of any of the elite. I am not scared. I have no fear of anything that this system can throw at me. And I have had enough. And I wish to throw down the gauntlet with these scumbags. I really do. I'm happy to challenge any politician anywhere on the planet. Face to face, public debate, you and me, let's sort this shit out. Because the world is in bad shape, and it's happening because politicians are constantly conducting criminal activity against the people of the planet. And it perpetuates because the people of the planet will not stand up and do anything about it. Mostly because they don't understand. They don't know. Because they're programmed not to know. And they're kept in such a state of scarcity and competition and such a state of fear-based mind control that they simply don't notice what's going on around them half the time as well. They simply don't have time because they have so much stress that's been superimposed over their reality via the mechanism of government criminality. You see, all the crimes that are being carried out are being carried out by government, and none of these people go to jail for their crimes, but rather it is the people that are forced into jail for breaching rules and statutes that are put in place by criminals in government that put them in place simply to reduce the human experience to commerce, and then they call it a crime when you do not bow to their commercial system, to the commercial system of slavery that they have superimposed over human consciousness. These are the real crimes against humanity that are happening on this planet, folks, and they're happening because the people don't know who they are, and they won't stand up and say enough is enough. Just think about the fact that cannabis is illegal, folks. Cannabis cures you of cancer. It cures you of a myriad of diseases. There's been a doctor recently who was put in jail for 14 months for using medical cannabis. He ended up winning his case and is now conducting a $551 million lawsuit against Mississippi County Sheriff. You'll find a link in the Crow House headlines. And this doctor openly stated that any doctor in the future who does not understand the endocannabinoid system within the body will have no right to call themselves a doctor. And the fact that this plant has been made illegal and that humankind has been enslaved to an alternative scientific medical system which has inflicted disease upon the people, this itself is a crime against humanity. But as I said, folks, none of the people who commit these crimes are ever put in jail. The jails are full of little people. And the reason the jails are so full and the reason there is so much crime in the world today is because, as I said, most of the people that inhabit the jails are not, in fact, criminals and they have committed no actual crimes. What they have done is they have breached statutes which have been put in place by criminals in government, and it is the placement of these statute regulations over the human experience which is the real crime in this case. So in a nutshell, folks, that's the situation that we're facing. We've got criminals that are in charge of all of our governments, and they are performing crimes against humanity every single day. We've got a real situation here, folks. We do. We've got GM food that is infecting our environment in a terrible, terrible way. all the bees are dying, folks. 50% of the world's bee population is now gone. People have been talking about this for years, but no one's been doing anything about it. They just see it's a little interesting story on page 3. Oh dear, the bees are dying. Isn't that terrible? Let's go back to The Price is Right. We may be able to witness someone winning a kitchen appliance. These are real serious issues, folks, and we know that these bees are being destroyed through GM crops and through GM food. We know where it's all coming from, and all the electromagnetic pollution that is rife around the planet. This is destroying all of the natural habitat on this planet. This is a crime against humanity. It's not only a crime against humanity, it's a crime against the planet. It's a crime against life itself. And it's being conducted through the criminal actions of governments because we're not doing anything about it. And these are serious issues, folks. In fact, humankind, mankind itself, and life on this planet hangs in the balance at the moment. And the one thing that is going to tip the scales is human consciousness. And in fact, the only thing that's going to tip the scales is human consciousness. People have to wake up to who and what they are. They have to be prepared to act, and they have to be prepared to speak out, but they've got to be doing it in the right way. It's great that you belong to a particular group that is addressing a certain issue, but do not neglect to notice that the issue that you are addressing is in fact a symptom of a larger problem, the larger problem being the criminality of government itself that has put the legislation in place which allows all of these symptoms to continue across the planet. And all of it's fiction, folks. It doesn't matter that they wrote this stuff down in books and rules on pieces of paper. It doesn't matter. Even with the free man stuff, I was discussing with a friend the other day, we're talking about the whole free man movement and people that are finding their way through the legal system. And they're talking about, oh, the fact that the stone of Scone has been moved and this wasn't on that and that wasn't that, so the king isn't valid and all this sorts of stuff. Who cares? Who cares if someone sat on a stone that someone laid their head on and dreamt about climbing a ladder hundreds of years ago? It doesn't matter. What sort of a crazy ritual is that? Who gives a damn who claimed what? That was then, and this is now. And what's happening now is that humankind is waking up to its potential. Mankind is waking up to who and what they are, and they are realizing that they've been kept enslaved to a fictional system for thousands of years, and this fictional system has been superimposed over their minds, and through the mechanism of this system, the planet that we live on is being destroyed, and all of the crimes that I previously mentioned are being allowed to occur. And the entire experience of life on this planet, not just human life, but all life, has been reduced to commerce. The whole thing. That's the issue, folks. It doesn't matter what rule somebody wrote, what crown was passed where, what paper was signed, who sat on what stone, or what castle was built anywhere. Who sailed where, who did what, who conquered what, it doesn't matter. It's all irrelevant. What is relevant is right now. And it's time people started paying attention. You know, and I say all this sort of stuff, folks, and I point out these sorts of things all the time. And even by saying what I just said, there'll be people out there that will say, oh, look, he's advocating open borders. You know, they really just don't get it. They just don't get it. They don't get that it's all fiction. They just don't get it that all of the countries, all of the boundaries, all of the legislation, all of the statutes, and all of the limitations that have been put upon human consciousness are all a construct of human consciousness. We made the whole thing up, folks. It's not real. What's real is life. What's real is us and this planet that we live on. And the potential that we could reach is absolutely astronomical, if we were allowed to do so. I mean, sure, we live in a system now where we need some sort of a system. We need some sort of infrastructure because of the type of society we've created. But we need one that nurtures the human experience. We need one that is going to benefit mankind. We need one that is going to allow us to reach our fullest potential. We don't need one that is a system of control that reduces every aspect of our existence to commerce, one that sees fit to rape and destroy the environment around us, one that sees fit to destroy and permutate and manipulate every aspect of life on this planet. We don't need one that is as psychopathic as the one that we currently have in place. And that's why I speak out about all of this stuff so often, folks. I look around me and I see people in this society and I see them struggling and I see them so lost, and I see that they have so much potential, but they're afraid to use it. They're afraid to really be themselves. They place limitations on themselves, or they're caught up in this plastic reality. Now, the kids today, they are brutalized. They're given all these goals and things to aspire to that are all fiction, that they can never reach, they can never be achieved. Even education itself has been reduced to a method of getting young people in debt. You go to university these days, it costs you an arm and a leg, and you're placed in a situation where you can never really pay off your school fees. Then you're pushed out into the workforce, and you're forced to live in a world where you have to pay to be alive, but you have this debt that's hanging over your head, which multiplies and grows the longer it takes you to pay it off. And so they lock you within the system of financial slavery straight away via the education system by simply making you pay for education. And what is the education that they're giving you? It's not proper education. It's left brain education. It's teaching you how to go out and exploit the rest of the world, to go out there and turn people around you into slaves to your system so that you can milk them of their wealth so that you can have wealth. It teaches you to be a sociopath. That's what our education system is all about. It doesn't teach people to be whole. It doesn't teach people to be real. It doesn't teach people to be anything that is actually beneficial to the world. It teaches people to be slaves to the system and to do things that are beneficial for the system. And as I said, folks, it's about time people woke up. And I suppose the beauty is that people actually are waking up, really, aren't they, folks? I mean, that's what this radio show is about. That's what all of the other radio shows are about as well. But like I said, I think it's very important that people realize that there's no point addressing symptoms. We've got to look at what the real problem is. And it's one thing to point the finger at certain members of government. It's one thing to point the finger at the banking elite. It's one thing to point your finger at the system in any way you wish to do so. But you've got to be looking at the solution to the problem as well. If you're not doing that, if you're simply pointing your finger at government and screaming, bad guy, then you might possibly be part of the problem, because we've got to look at rational solutions. And the rational solution, of course, is the power of the people to introduce transparency in our systems of government and to rein in the ship of state and to steer it back onto the right track, which will lead us back to empowerment and respect for the human experience and indeed for all life on the planet. But I think it's break time now, folks. It's a pleasure having your company with me on the air today. But we're going to have a break now, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So what will it take to change the world? Essentially, I suppose what I'm asking is, what will it take to shift human perspective? Because it's going to be a shift in human perspective that changes the world. It's not going to be anything else. That's really the only thing that will ever do it. So what's it going to take to cause people to wake up? What's it going to take for people to be able to realize their own power to bring about effective change? What's it going to take to help people understand that the system is fiction? We made it all up. It's just words in a book. Like I said, with the free man movement and all of the stuff that people are doing to find their way through the legal system, what they're failing to see is that the legal system's all fiction. It's just rules written in books. It doesn't mean anything. It's just someone else's idea. It's a perspective of how we should do things. And from the point that we created this system, we've had politicians come into power, and because they've been in power, they haven't just run the infrastructure and managed things for us. They've thought, well, I'm in power now. That means I can make the rules. And so they do. And they just write more and more rules. And they just keep adding to the system. So it becomes so complex and so convoluted and so based on people's opinions. And, oh, this is law because there was a precedent set here way back in 1800 and whatever, where some guy did this, which means that rah, 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 rah. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's all fiction. Who cares what they did back then? What the law is do no harm. If there's harm being done through the actions of any legislation, then that legislation should be against the law, because obviously it is breaking the law because it's causing harm. So that legislation needs to be discarded, and the politician who presumed to be able to enact that legislation needs to be reprimanded and removed from his position of power, lest he abuse that power again. That's really what it comes down to, folks. I mean, we don't need any of it. All we need is a system whereby we are taught to respect life. And if life was not reduced to a system of commerce, then I believe that respect would come by default. You see, that's the thing, folks, and all it takes to achieve that type of system is for human consciousness to simply change their perspective of how life should be lived, change their perspective of what reality is. So, what's it going to take to change that perspective? I mean, I've come on the show here and I've been speaking about this sort of stuff for 6 years. And a lot of people are beginning to get it. They are beginning to see it. And I suppose it is a huge shift for people to make. To me, it just seems to be blatantly obvious. But the reports that I've had from people that have suddenly come to realize what I've said have said to me that it was a gradual process. But now that they see it, it's like a light bulb suddenly went off in their head and they just went, oh my God, it would be so easy to change the world were I to simply stand up and assert the power of who I am. And it's really great to see some people actually having that revelation. And even people that have been long-time listeners of my show, I've received emails from them. They've just gone, oh my God, I've been listening to you for 5 or 6 years and now I've just finally got it. I think that's why I repeat myself on the show so much as well, folks, because the more I attempt to explain this situation to people, perhaps the more concisely I'm able to explain it. And I try to aim the shows that I do not only at the long-time listeners of the program, but also at the new listeners who might be hearing a show for the first time. Like perhaps someone comes and this is the first show they've ever heard. Well, I want to be able to explain to them in a nutshell what the problem that we're facing is and what the solution to the problem is, include enough content for them to be able to get it in a nutshell, but also maybe something for the long-time listeners so they gain a little bit of further insight into what I'm saying. It's a difficult line to walk, but that's what I attempt to do with these radio shows. I tend to aim it towards both groups of people. Because it's no good me just doing esoteric radio shows that are a continuation of the spy novel for people. I'm not really interested in the whole spy novel perspective of what's going on. To me, it's not like an adventure story. To me, it's a very serious situation that we need to address. And I do the shows in the hope that we will address the situation and in the hope that I can encourage other people to look at reality from a different perspective. And I would much prefer not to have to do these radio shows. I would much prefer simply to see the world change. That's what I want to do with my life here. I want to help make a difference. I want to free humankind from the shackles that they live in. I believe it can be done through nonviolent means. I really do. And that's why I promote nonviolence. But of course, I mean, if violence is inflicted upon you, you should defend yourself. Absolutely. I'm not promoting pacifism. But I am promoting a non-violent approach to this situation because I don't think we need violence. I think we need a shift in perspective. That's all we need to do. And once the human race realizes who and what they are, everything's going to change by default. And the hardest part for people is shifting this perspective. Really, it comes down to respect. I really urge people to listen to the show that I did last week, which I believe was entitled Hijacking Humanity. You'll find that in the Crow House Radio Archives. You'll find it on YouTube, in which I explained my perspective of reality, how reality works. I've explained it many times on the air, and I don't really want to go through it again. But if you are a new listener and you want to know how and why I feel the way I do about my life and about my relation to government, about my relation to all life around me and my relationship to the planet in general, then I really do urge you to listen to that show, especially the last half of that radio broadcast. Because that's how I view things, folks. And I found that it helps if people are able to look at reality for what it really is. And to me, it's been a huge pillar of strength in my life. It's been a huge help and support to me to understand how reality works and to fully comprehend what I am and what the people around me are and what this reality is. It really helps in the way I interact with it. And that's why I have no fear of the system. I have no fear of the people around me. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of anything that may come after. I mean, sure, I would be disappointed to leave the human experience and to be separated from the ones that I love and the people that I love. And I would be disappointed to have to leave the human drama while it's still in such an unresolved state, because I would so love to see it resolved. I'd love to see human consciousness start moving back in the direction towards themselves. I mean, I can see so clearly in my mind the type of world we could have. It's very difficult to explain to you in words, but I can see it in my mind, and I truly believe that that's what this moment in history is. It's the moment when we're being given the choice to create that world. We're being given all of the information exposing the system for what it is. We're being given all of the information to alert us to the full potential of what we could actually achieve. And we're being given the choice as to which direction we wish to take human consciousness in. I think it's an incredibly important time to be alive, folks. And it's important that we realize we are being offered a choice here. And it's something to really consider. Because the choice that we make right now is going to affect not only mankind, but all life on this planet for a very, very long time to come. And that's another reason I do the shows, folks. I do them because it's important. It's important for people to have this information, because it's important for people to get involved in their lives. It's important for them to get involved in reality. I mean, we're here, folks. We need to do something with this time. It's not about going to work and going shopping and collecting stuff and coming home and watching television and then going to the game on the weekend. It's just not about that. There's a lot more to life than what people are being led to believe. The problem is that people are kept blinded to reality by the artificial reality that's been superimposed over them, superimposed around them. People are so caught up in whatever rung they're on the social status and how much stuff they've got to impress the neighbours and who won the fight on Saturday, who won the ball game on Sunday, that they just don't pay attention. Because when you remove the art from people's lives, when you remove them from themselves, then they seek solace and they seek companionship and they seek something that they can identify with in things that are external to themselves. And when there is nothing natural that is left external to themselves, not within a city environment, then all they have to cling on to is a certain subculture. Even people who are rebelling against society, they say, okay, so you're a rebel. Well, here, have a subculture. You can be a goth or a punk or this or that. And we'll create an entire subculture for you that you can go and immerse yourself in. And by doing so, you can feel like you're a rebel. But really, you're not being an individual. You're not being yourself. You're immersing yourself within a subculture that's been constructed for you simply because it makes you feel good. It removes those pent-up frustrations from you. It provides for you the mechanism by which you may feel like you're a rebel without actually being one. That's what many of these subcultures are for, and that's why they're constructed. That's why they're allowed to exist, folks, because they don't really pose any threat to society. Society doesn't care if you wear gothic clothes and pierce yourself with metal and wear black lipstick and dye your hair purple. It doesn't care. It would love you to do that, because while you're doing that, you're not paying attention to everything else that they're doing. And you can feel like, yes, I'm a rebel because I'm giving the finger to the system. And I'm turning away from it and I'm living my own life. But really, folks, by doing so, all you're doing is allowing its perpetuation. Because like I said, we do face some really serious issues here. If we don't do something about the destruction of our environment via GM crops and the stuff that Monsanto is doing, by the destruction of the bees, by coal seam gas mining and all of the things that the government is allowing to occur, then we're going to find ourselves in a very, very precarious situation. Problem is that people don't care about it because they only care about their lives, they only care about their stuff, they only care about sexual gratification or social gratification or having more stuff or looking the best on their block or being the one who can get the tickets to the rock concert or whatever it is that people indulge themselves in. And all of this is because of a disconnection from reality, because our societies are anything but real. Even our idea of wealth isn't real. We perceive wealth to be material possessions and to be digits on a screen. But that's not wealth, folks. Real wealth is the quality of your life, the quality of your health, the quality of your environment, and the quality of the relationships you have with others. That is real wealth. In fact, folks, if wealth is measured by the parameters that are actually human and by the things that make mankind who they are, then it could be perceived that the wealthiest countries on Earth at the moment are the third world countries, because it is within third world cultures that there still exists a strong family unit and strong relationship ties with people. And this is why the wealth is currently being transferred out of the first world and into the third world. And that's why it's so important that we act now. Because we in the first world have the knowledge of how bad this system actually is. But those in the third world don't have that knowledge. They see people from the first world as being almost superhuman. We have all this stuff that they perceive to be great. They just don't understand the price we have paid to have these trinkets by means of the damage that it's done to us, the damage it's done to our psyche, the damage it's done to our relationships. And it's so important that we pay attention to what's happening here. I've said on other shows that what's going to happen is they're going to transfer the wealth from the first world into the third world, and they're going to reduce the first world to the state of the fourth world. And that's what they're doing now. That's why people are struggling so much. People are having such a hard time maintaining any quality of life under the parameters of this system. But they've got people in the first world so dependent upon the system and so locked into the belief that the system is real and that money is real, that they can now reduce the first world to the fourth world, and these people will work in the mines and do everything that they need to do in order to collect the paper that they believe they need, the money they believe they need in order to pay to be alive. And while they're doing this, they'll transfer the wealth to the third world, and by doing so, they will disconnect the third world from their family connection. They'll disconnect them from the earth, and by the time they've disconnected the third world, then it will be too late to stop where we're going. That's why it has to be done now, because the third world is still there. The connection to source is still there. The connection to family, the connection to nature, it's still there in many places around the planet. And we in the first world are now armed with the knowledge of the price that technology exacts from the human experience, the price it exacts from human consciousness, the price we have truly paid for the destruction that we have wrought to our environment and to ourselves. And this is the direction we're going, folks. This is what's happening to the planet at the moment. So who can stop it? Well, we can. We are the only ones who can. That's the point. That's the point of doing these shows. That's the point of talking to you calmly and politely as I do on these shows. And I admit I get a little irate sometimes. I certainly have today. But I do so because we're facing a desperate situation. We truly are. We can't simply take things for granted, and we can't think we're going to survive in our distracted state. Those people who are so caught up in trinkets and so caught up in going to the ball game and so caught up in their social status don't realize the danger that they are in by turning a blind eye to what's happening in the world around them. Because once the bees are gone, once the GMO crops have taken over all life on this planet, and once the human race is virtually sterile due to GM crops, and the only way to bring children into the world is through artificial insemination and perhaps growth chambers and birthing chambers like we see in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and like was depicted in the latest Superman movie, once we reach that stage, folks, then there's no turning back. That's it. We're locked into the Matrix forevermore. And we will have virtually no choice other than to go down the transhumanist pathway. And the transhumanist pathway will see most of the world reduced to robotic slaves, while a very, very select ruling elite sit at the top and enjoy the paradise that this world could really be. Because once all life has been destroyed by the GM crops and the human race has been reduced to the level of worker drones, then they have the seed banks, they have the stocks, they have everything that they need to replenish the world into the garden that they want it to be. And the life experience for the rest of humanity will be reduced to little more than a worker drone or a puppet, a toy to be used for the gratification and pleasure of the elite to do with what they will. And all of this is perpetuated, and all of this is heading towards the direction it's heading now because of the actions of our government, but more importantly, it's heading that way because the people don't realize their own potential. They don't realize the power that they have to change things because they're educated to believe the system is real and they spend their lives locked within what is essentially a fictional paper-based construct. And they're abused by the system that they live in. They're abused by a system that was created by humanity apparently to service mankind's needs. It truly is a paradoxical situation, folks. But it's one that I believe is being rectified. I really do believe that the days of this system are numbered. I believe that the more they attempt to lock people down, then the more people are waking up. And I don't believe there's going to be anything they can do to prevent human consciousness reaching the level that it's destined to reach. I don't think the transhumanist agenda is going to work. I don't think the GM destruction of the environment is going to work. I think it may get worse yet, but I think eventually people are going to wake up and smell the coffee, and they're simply not going to allow it to continue. And that's all it will take, folks, is when people decide to participate. Because there are a lot of people out there who believe, yes, things are going to change, things are going to get better, and they're not going to get away with what they're doing, and I believe that also. But many people believe that it's going to happen without their participation. And that is truly foolhardy, folks. Because you have to participate. You've got to get involved. I know that's how I feel about it, and that's how everybody that I know feels about it as well. And indeed, folks, there are so many people that are speaking out and attempting to do things now, and it's even coming into the mainstream. As I mentioned earlier, the doctor who recently launched a $551 million lawsuit against the government because he was jailed simply because he chose to stand up for his right to use medical marijuana and to treat people via the mechanism of the endocannabinoid system that exists within our body. And folks, that endocannabinoid system exists for a reason. So we're seeing all of this coming to the mainstream. We're seeing more and more people talking out about the things that I speak about. We're seeing more and more people realizing that their relationship with government is simply a trust agreement and that we can do far better than what we've got in place at the moment. People are beginning to see the futility of simply addressing the symptoms of the problems. People are beginning to see that there is a higher problem. There is a higher harmonic. There is a way of stepping above the system and putting it back on track. And they're starting to realize that we can't do it within the parameters of the system. Indeed, the system has constructed these parameters purely to prevent us from ever being able to address this situation in any effective way. That's what the system is all about, folks. And all of the people who operate within the parameters of the system and get their little companies and get their little businesses and work to make them more efficient, all they are doing is helping to discard humanity and to make the system more efficient by their support of the economic model that has been superimposed over human consciousness. We have to step above it all, folks. We really do. Stop basing your life on economics. It doesn't work. I've had people trying to get me involved in businesses around here and doing things and going on speaking dates and speaking arrangements and selling health products and all sorts of stuff, folks, but it's always motivated by money for these people. And I don't do anything I do with money as the motivation. If I did, I do not believe I would have the success that I've had. I do what I do because I believe it is the right thing to do. And when I do things, I operate with integrity. I do it because my heart tells me that's what I should do. And because I operate in integrity, then the universe ensures that I am in a position that I should be in. The universe will put me where I'm supposed to be. And the things you need to survive in life will be a simple byproduct of you placing yourself in a state of integrity and always operating from a center of integrity. That's a simple rule to remember in life, folks, is that abundance is a natural byproduct of integrity. If you're operating with money as the motivation, then there's really no integrity in that, folks, and so you'll get what you deserve. You might get money for a little while, but will it bring you happiness? Will it bring you real wealth? Because real wealth cannot be measured in terms of money. It's simply a construct, folks. And it's a construct put in place and perpetuated by the criminality in government, and it's allowed to continue simply because people don't understand what's going on, and they don't understand the true beauty and the true power of themselves. But it is there, folks. It is there inside you. All you have to do is look. You don't have to put up with criminal activity that is conducted around you. You don't have to put up with criminal activity from government. You don't have to put up with living within the parameters of a slavery system. You really have the potential to be something far greater than what this system encourages you to believe. So what is crime, folks? Crime is anything that limits human potential. Crime is anything that impedes humankind from becoming all that they could be. Crime is anything that impedes our ability to express ourselves, to explore our own consciousness, to live and realize the art of our own lives. As I said earlier, the only real law that should be given any credence at all would be common law. But even common law is a construct because ultimately there is only one law, and that is do no harm. That is it. Anything beneath that is a construct that we created ourselves to instill within our minds a sense of justice, I suppose. A feeling that we could make people punishable for their actions. But then we saw that it worked, and we saw that, okay, we can create certain parameters around our society, and we can punish people who step outside those parameters, because by stepping outside of them, they are inflicting harm upon other people. But okay, now that we've got that control, we'll just add a few more parameters. And before we know it, we've got a fictional, paper-based construct, quite literally a matrix, which places imaginary lines and imaginary parameters around every single thing that we do, to the extent that it becomes a crime to even express yourself in truly human ways. Essentially, it becomes a crime to even be human and have real feelings and do the things that humans do, explore reality the way humans do. The mere concept that people such as Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden would be persecuted for exposing government criminality is ludicrous to the extreme as well. In the example of Bradley Manning, it is the government that Bradley Manning exposed that is the criminal. It is the prosecutor who prosecuted the case who is a criminal, and it is the judge who found him guilty who is a criminal due to his support for a criminal system, regardless of what legislative parameters he's adhering to. Soon we'll probably live in a world where a kid can't get hold of a piece of cardboard and slide down a grass hill. He might have to do it in a designated grass slide area where there are specified safety officers on hand. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we've already reached that stage. And it's important to understand that such parameters are not put in place for your protection. They're not put in place to ensure humankind is able to express themselves to the fullest of their potential. They're put there to disempower the people, to instill a sense of inadequacy and incompetence within the minds of people, to suggest to people that they are far more frail than they actually are, and to ensure within their minds that they need the nanny state to look after them. But really, folks, it's all fiction. It's all a construct. It's not what we need at all. What we need is to rediscover ourselves, because once we do that, then the whole system will change virtually overnight. Well, I think we've reached the end of this show here, folks. It's been a pleasure talking to you again today. Thank you to anybody who has ever sent me a kind email or a kind message. I'm sorry I don't get to respond to them all. Thank you to anybody who has ever helped with the website. Your donations truly are the only thing that keeps it going. Thank you for continuing to listen to the show and for showing me the support and the kindness that you have done for so many years now. It really is gratifying and heartwarming to read the many emails that you send me. But that is it now, folks. We are now completely out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you for joining me on the show today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.